Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Friends, these commands straight from God in our gospel passage and then the first reading are a very tall order for us, to say the least, right? We might think that, you know, isn't this an impossible standard for us humans? Us, even amongst the baptized? Is God setting us up for failure by raising the bar too high? Well, the short answer is no. The Lord always calls us to higher ground so that we can grow deeper into relationship with Him as opposed to the things of the world. And this leads us to freedom and flourishing. That's what He wants for every single one of us. Moreover, He gives us everything we need to succeed and walks with us right alongside every single step of the journey. Nevertheless, this is a tough journey. There's no getting around that. And one of the toughest parts of the journey is being merciful to our fellow humans as the Lord is merciful to us. Remember that mercy means extending grace, extending love to somebody when they don't deserve it, when they've wronged us. God never ceases doing this. We turn away from Him all the time in sin. His answer, mercy. That isn't always our answer, right, when somebody wrongs us. That's what He calls us to. Our first reading gives an Old Testament perspective on this matter by emphasizing that we cannot hate any of our fellow humans, nor can we seek revenge on them or harbor grudges. This all culminates in the famous line that Jesus later quotes in summing up the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, such a life stands in radical contrast to most of what the world preaches to us, and even in radical contrast to some parts of the Old Testament, if we just take them literally. But Jesus is the fulfillment of all Scripture, and He takes it to another level in today's gospel passage, gives us the full understanding. And notice that He doesn't water it down. He doesn't say, oh, it's kind of, I know it's hard for you, so I'm going to turn away while you sin, and we'll just let it be. No, He raises the bar. He doesn't lower the bar. This is a truly amazing part of the Bible. We're still in the Sermon on the Mount here. But here He strongly asserts His authority by actually changing Scripture. Only God can change Scripture, right? And so He does that. And this is shocking to His listeners. At least in today's passage, He first references the teaching an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. To be sure, there was a time when this was needed, when things were very barbaric in the world, and so this was actually a merciful teaching of the Lord. It was a restraint. If somebody does something wrong to you, you just kill them, knock them off. And so the Lord saying, no, let's dial it back a little bit. But now, in the light of Jesus Christ, is the time where mercy reigns. Mercy reigns, no violence. So He proclaims, but I say to you, offer no resistance to the one who is evil. Turn the other cheek. Respond with generosity. Wow, this is a huge turning point in human history. This was crazy to a lot of people who were hearing these words. Why would we live this way, right? Look at all of our enemies around us. They want to kill us. They want to wipe us off the face of the planet. And what are you talking about here, Jesus? This was the turning point, these teachings of Jesus that are common to us now. He pushes it even further, though. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy was the old teaching. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Yes, we are called to love everyone as God does. He doesn't play favorites. Not at all. As we heard, he sends down sun and rain on both the just and the unjust. He's always leaving the door open for conversion. Always giving us another chance to walk with Him. And we as Christians are also called to rise above mere worldly wisdom and customs. And St. Paul reminds us in today's second reading that we aren't just called for this, but we're also equipped to succeed. Indeed, we are temples of the Holy Spirit, he reminds us. The Spirit of God dwells in you. The Spirit of God dwells in you. This is awesome. This is pretty amazing, actually, if we stop and think about it. The trouble is that we can easily take this for granted and therefore not live it to the full. Sometimes we don't live it at all. That's why Paul's really emphasizing this, how marvelous it is. You are called to follow the wisdom of the Spirit, not the wisdom of the world or your own wisdom. And this most often won't be the path of least resistance. It's not going to be easy street, in other words, but it will be the path to the glorious freedom of the children of God. So take Paul's warning to heart and do not deceive yourself. I quote, "If anyone among you considers himself wise in this age, let him become a fool so as to become wise. For the wisdom of the world is foolishness in the eyes of God." Being a fool for Christ sounds weird, doesn't it? But it truly is the best way to live. God's got the right kind of wisdom. He wants us to cherish it, to live it. In today's responsorial, which it's an excerpt from Psalm 103, beautiful, beautiful masterpiece. The psalmist confidently proclaims the beauty of a life lived this way. And unsurprisingly, it begins with God's mercy and the conversion that flows from His mercy, if we allow it to. If we allow it to. "Merciful and gracious is the Lord," we heard, "slow to anger and abounding in kindness. Not according to our sins does He deal with us, nor does He requite us according to our crimes. We'd be goners if He did. There's no way that we can atone for our sins on our own. We need His help. And so He comes with mercy, not with condemnation. Merciful and gracious He is, slow to anger, abounding in kindness. That's His answer to our sinfulness. He doesn't look at us as the sum of all of our failures, which sometimes we do. He looks at us as beloved children, in need of healing and reconciliation. So yes, He pardons all your iniquities, heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. That's what sin does. It leads us on the path to destruction. Crowns you with kindness and compassion. Again, that's His answer. We sin, He crowns us with kindness and compassion. This is our Lord. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He put our transgressions from us. He has compassion on those who fear Him. Now think holy fear here, an awe, a love and respect for the Lord. He has compassion on those who live this way. This too is truly revolutionary, brothers and sisters. The God, all the pagan gods and all the mythological gods that preceded our God, at least preceded the revelation of our God to human beings, were always in competition with human beings for freedom, for the resources of the world. And they took advantage of human beings oftentimes. But God's not in competition with us at all. He's all mercy, all love. This is radically different than what people had seen before. The key for us is to be aware of it and to welcome it, to remain open to it. And the psalmist helps us here too. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being, bless His holy name." If we bless Him instead of being angry with Him and trying to push Him off to the side when He challenges us, we bless Him. That opens us up to receive His goodness. Now, as you're aware, Lent is right around the corner. I encourage you to have a game plan ready to go. You know, Ash Wednesday is this upcoming Wednesday. Then you're going to reap a magnificent harvest. The Lord wants all of us to reap this harvest, even throughout Lent, but especially once Easter gets here. So don't go small with the Lord. You can give up chocolate. I mean, you can do something like that. That's okay. But go big. The Lord wants you to go big. Not just little trinkets. Go big. And ask Him where He wants to lead you this holy season. Oftentimes we might say, okay, I'm going to kind of do the minimum. I'm going to give up chocolate and maybe I'll pray an extra Hail Mary each day. Not terrible things, but where does He want to lead you? That's the crucial question. Allow Him to touch those dark and perhaps forbidden areas in your heart. Then and only then, brothers and sisters, will you grow along the path to perfection and holiness that He has in mind for you. Every one of you, all of us, has a unique and beautiful path that He's laid out for us. And then you will be able to love all people just as He created you to do.